Play Action is brought to you by the BFLO Store, the official retailer of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres.
Damar Hamlin is back in Buffalo after an emotional week for the entire team. We'll go through how the Bills supported each other during that time.
We'll discuss reasons to feel confident and reasons to be concerned about the team on the field as it heads into the playoffs.
And that playoff push starts with the Miami Dolphins. What can we expect from round three between these two teams? The Play Action Podcast starts now.
The Bills endured an incredibly emotional, traumatic week last week and closed the regular season with a 35-23 victory over the New England Patriots. And it seems like the place to start this podcast this week is the emotional state of this Bills team.
As we record this now, it's so great to share that Damar Hamlin is back in Buffalo. He was released from intensive care at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center Monday, 1 week after that terrifying scene on Monday Night Football, and came back to Buffalo, where he is still in the hospital, continuing care at Buffalo General Medical Center. But Sean McDermott said, you know, even though he's not right with the team, still, again, continuing care, it feels right to have your family close by. This is a huge step for Damar, for the team too, but Mitch Morse was telling us after that emotional win over the Patriots how this isn't one of those things that you just snap your fingers and you forget, is what he said. He said that's not fair to the players, that's not fair to Damar. The Bills have been so candid about how this is something they're going to keep processing. What they saw to their close friend and teammate on the field, it is excellent news that he's better, but I think it's really fair to them to note that this is something that is going to keep coming in waves for a bit after witnessing what they saw there.
Yeah, and I think that the whole, where does the team stand on the field? How do we evaluate the performance against New England? I think there's a temptation to take for granted the fact they were going to beat New England, because we know the Bills are better than New England. But it can't be stressed enough that, you know, the Bills didn't have a real week of preparation for New England. Obviously, their minds were elsewhere. They didn't have full practice. They had a walkthrough on Wednesday. And to come out and play against a respectable Patriots team and in a very high-quality Patriots defense and perform, they deserve a lot of credit for that. And you know, how good was the blocking for this and that, I think is really missing the point that they somehow got themselves collected enough to perform and beat a capable Patriots team.
Yeah, I think that opening kick return touchdown by Nyheim Hines, the 96-yard return to start the game, what an incredible moment. I think it was really cathartic for this team. But I think then people were like, oh, they're going to just steamroll the Patriots the entire game. They'll score every drive from here on out. They will totally shut down New England. And I don't think that was totally fair to see a big play like that and be like, all right, everything's good, back to normal. Brandon Bean, I was really struck by Friday ahead of the game when he was telling us everything his week had been like, said he was honest. He said, it's kind of like cramming for an exam that you probably waited until the last minute for. And I think that's just, you know, very true to what that week was like for the Bills. And I appreciated the honesty on so many different fronts from players, coaches, Brandon Bean throughout the week. I think it's really, like you said, Mark, fair to look at this game and recognize, I mean, they still did so many things really well, but it's a different context than just a regular week of football when they were clinging to all these updates on Damar Hamlin. Thankfully, so many of them were good, but even just like the amount of time to get ready, Sean McDermott had joked earlier at one point that you never want this to happen, but then it happens on a short week and it's almost like, well, of course it happens this way. And that was at a point where there was enough good news on Damar that he was able to kind of look at it in the sense of what more could happen to these guys who are going through so much. And I think giving players, coaches, staff the space to process things all throughout the week, that really stood out to me about the right way to handle this from the organization. And again, they made it through this game. I think that's huge, and especially the emotional way they won it. But it is something that guys are going to keep talking about, as they should, as they just kind of process everything that they saw.
I was in the tunnel after the game waiting for the Patriots locker room to open, and I was talking to Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, and he said, you know, I'm glad I was here. I'm going to remember this game forever, for 30 years. And I think Nyheim Hines has etched his name into Bills history forever. And that's a really cool thing. And Hines is he's a very impressive young guy. He's really smart. You know, he just fits. You can tell why the Bills went after him from Indianapolis. Besides his speed, 4.38 speed, he's just a high character, smart team player. And I think it's really cool that 25 years from now, fans will be saying, oh, yeah, I remember I was there when Nyheim Hines took two back to the house.
Yeah. And to your point, he took back two. Like, that opening moment was incredible. He had a second for 101 yards later in the game. I really appreciated his post-game comments, too, about how, as you mentioned, he came here mid-season. He didn't know DeMar quite as well as some of his teammates. Just, he's on the offense, DeMar's on defense. He got here in October, but was telling us how his first day here, DeMar came up to him in the tubs to introduce himself. And even if they're not interacting quite as often as DeMar and the rest of the secondary, Nyheim right away was like, oh, this is a cool guy. And they became friends still that way. He was wearing threes on his thigh pads during the game and trying to support his teammates too. So we learned a lot over this stretch about how authentic the friendships are on this team. And I think that's why this week at first was so, so hard. And that's why this game was even more meaningful to these guys. We've gone through some of where the Bills are at emotionally. Let's go through what they're looking like on the field right now. The playoffs are here. They host the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. How about two reasons to be confident in the Buffalo Bills, two causes for concern?
Okay, you go first. Confident. Reason to be confident.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it feels almost too obvious, but Josh Allen.
Yay.
I think he gives this team all the reason to believe. So, so many reasons to be confident. The plays he's able to make, what he is able to do with this offense to lift them as a whole. Even though we talked about how Sunday's game against the Patriots, they were still working through some things, just considering what their week was. Each of his three touchdowns, I think, is a reminder of why Josh Allen matters to the Bills. That first one to Dawson Knox, even just his patience there waiting until he could strike and get that touchdown to his tight end in the end zone.
5.6 seconds standing
5.6 seconds. Yeah, I mean, there's that. And then also those long ones to John Brown, to Stephon Diggs, 42 and 49 yards. Again, just his ability to create on the field. We've talked about so many of his plays all season, and I think just knowing what he is able to do going into the playoffs as well, that's a big reason for me.
Yeah, I talked to Devin McCourty in the Patriots locker room after the game, the great leader, 35-year-old, four-time Super Bowl champ. And he just marveled about Allen. He just, you know, I saw him when he came in as a rookie, and it's just amazing how much he's gotten better. From the opposite hash, throwing a 9-route, 60 yards in the air to Diggs on a line. Oh, my God. And then he said, you know, and they didn't even really use the Josh designed running game on us. We were ready. We were preparing for it. They didn't even need it. Amazing. So I'll go the number two draft pick on this reasons to feel good are the state of the offense and the running game. The numbers weren't great against New England, but the running backs averaged 4.6 yards a carry. James Cook is really coming on. He is hitting holes hard between the tackles. He's a threat outside the numbers. I like the way Ken Dorsey is mixing in his personnel groups, using bigger personnel groups, working the play actions, playing off the run game to use Josh on bootlegs, like on the John Brown touchdown. That was actually a design bootleg. Josh made it sensational because there was a free rusher on him. But I like where this offense is schematically and from a physical standpoint going into the playoffs. So now we go to two reasons to be concerned. You took the first draft pick, so I'll take the first draft pick on this one. My number one reason to be concerned is the state of the defensive backfield. Just banged up. Jordan Poyer's playing hurt. No Micah Hyde. They've lost Damar Hamlin. They played Dean Marlowe against New England as a starting safety. I love Dean, but he's got limitations. And then their number two cornerback position, I was thinking that it would be farther along in its development by this point of the playoffs, meaning I thought Kyrie Elam would have taken the job by the lapels a little more than he has. He hasn't. It's a two-series split between him and Dane Jackson. That's a worry. And they've got a murderer's row of pass offenses to face in the playoffs. It's a big concern whether the secondary is up to the task.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go defense here as well. And I want to add some context to that once I get into it a bit. I'm going to go with the state of the pass rush as a concern. But I think to your point, when you look at just the offenses that the Bills are likely to face in the playoffs, that's why I feel maybe defense is a bigger thing here. I know we just highlighted two positives on offense. Now we're voicing some concerns on defense. It's not that I think this defense is so struggling that they're holding back the team or anything like that. I think to your point, that's where so many of these critical injuries have been.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of changed the dynamic of what the Bills maybe thought they were going to have coming into the season. Von Miller, the obvious case when it comes to the pass rush of Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, when they were bringing in Von, were so candid about, we want him for the playoffs. We want him to be that closer. And now they will not have him. I think the defensive line has held up well in some cases without Von, but I think just kind of knowing that these giant moments were why they sought him in the first place, and now it's here without him. And I think there's been a slight dip as of late, even though, again, this team's been through a lot. Want to still be clear about that. Just, you know, interested to see how that pass rush, what they're able to produce in the playoffs when, again, the offenses that the Bills are going to face, I think, pose a bigger threat than some of the opposing defenses.
The playoffs start Sunday for the Buffalo Bills at 1 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. Here come the Miami Dolphins for round three. And there are just a load of injury questions hovering over this game like a big cloud for Miami.
The biggest one for sure is at quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa has been in the concussion protocol since December 26, and there's no timeline for his return. That makes all the difference in the world as far as what this playoff game will look like between these two teams. Mike McDaniel told Dolphins reporters this week that when Tua is cleared to practice, he will practice, but until then, I'm not doing anything. So there's just a really cloudy situation at quarterback right now. Skylar Thompson just started the last game for the Dolphins. They had Teddy Bridgewater, who has a finger injury, active, but he didn't play. Mike Glennon was active. So could shake out a lot of different ways, but that's just really going to dictate what this game looks like.
100%. And we're taping this on a Tuesday morning, but it doesn't really matter. I don't think we're going to know definitively on Tua till late in the week. If Tua plays, this is the toughest wildcard matchup the Bills could have. If Tua doesn't play, it's the easiest wildcard matchup the Bills could have. So who knows? It took everything the Bills had for the Bills to beat Miami in December, 32-29. But Miami is banged up. They're still without left tackle Teron Armstead, their superstar left tackle. He's missed the last two games. Their guard, Liam Eichenberg, battled through an arm injury and didn't play that well against the Jets. Their right tackle, Brandon Schell, had battled a knee and ankle injury against the Jets. Their star running back, Raheem Mostert, just had thumb surgery. He's out. I mean, he isn't officially out, but there's no way he's playing. Jeff Wilson, who is very capable, will play, you got to figure, at running back. The Bills had trouble stopping the Miami running game in December, and that's still going to be an issue because you've got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And no matter who the quarterback is, the number one job number one is playing deep and trying to prevent them from killing you. So stopping the run is down on the list of priorities.
Yeah, and to that point, when we talked to Leslie Frazier about what is it like to prepare for a game like this when, you know, you're getting ready for maybe three different quarterbacks earlier this week, he pretty quickly mentioned, you know, yes, there are challenges when you don't know the starting quarterback, but we know who some of the other pieces are and what we have to get ready for. To your point, those wide receivers just being such a force for these teams. And so that's kind of the focus for the Bills right now, watching tape of all those quarterbacks, but knowing that no matter who is there, those wide receivers still present a lot of challenges.
And on the flip side, the Miami defense, they're actually pretty good on the front four, and their defensive secondary is where the Bills have been able to exploit them and should be able to exploit them in this game. They're playing a lot of young guys. Kader Kohou, Keon Crossan, one of their starting safeties is out. They've got veteran Eric Rowe playing at the other safety a lot of the time. So that's a problem for Miami. But their front four is legit. And the Bills had problems with Jalen Phillips in the past. He's a second-year guy like Greg Rousseau from the University of Miami. They use him in a lot of good ways. He's a good rusher from the outside, and he's really good when they line him up at defensive tackle.
Here's the breakdown of this week's play to watch.
And I'm thinking of a play against Cleveland where he teamed with Melvin Ingram on a twist to get a sack against Jacoby Brissett. And then they've got Bradley Chubb, who's a little dinged up on the other side. So their front four is no joke.
Yeah, Phillips is up to 7 sacks this year. And that quickness, too, makes him just dynamic in a bunch of different situations. So still a lot of questions as far as what the Dolphins will look like exactly coming into this game as we get started on the playoffs here Sunday at 1 p.m. with the Bills against the Dolphins. We'll have all of your coverage leading up to that from the game on BuffaloNews.com. And then make sure to come back next week, subscribe to this podcast where we'll be back to talk through more.
The BFLO store is all things Bills, Sabres, and Buffalo. Visit their new flagship location in the Transitown Plaza or check out their selection of Buffalo Bills and Sabres apparel, gifts, and more at bfloshop.com.